thank the Lord for all the good news in worship today and song and testimony and his mission work. And thank you, Mike Salvey, for preaching last week. Appreciate that very much and God's work through your life. And a new group started, a new huddle group, you might say, Ascend. That's during Sunday school time. And they meet in a fellowship hall and eat and talk and pray. And the Lord working through that group as in other parts of the church. So consider that, will you? It's a good time to start something new as the Lord wants to work in our lives. And next couple Sundays, thinking about the theme of shoulder-to-shoulder experiences, which some of you are having now, and maybe in your soul you're having with somebody who means a lot to you. A lot of the illustrations this morning come from a group called Whitefields Foundation, which is a men's ministry. And one of their leaders will be a game dinner speaker for us back coming in February. Well, one ex-pro football player says that being a Christian and following Jesus is like being in a huddle. Okay, and he defines huddle in two ways. To waste time between football plays. It's one way to look at a huddle. Some of you have had that experience, and in fellowship even. And the other one is to gather together in a close mass, preparing for important action. Okay, getting together closely, preparing for important action. And the second one is more biblical definition of being together as God's people. It's hard to do, but He does it for us. So supposedly the huddle was invented by a fella who was a quarterback at a university around Washington, D.C., and he couldn't hear. His team could not hear. It was a university for the deaf. And in order to get ready for the play, they gathered together, looked at each other, and news was passed on, and off they went to succeed. So a good question to ask ourselves is, who is in your huddle? Okay, are you in a huddle? Would you like to be in a huddle? And how do you get in one in a practical way? God tells us through Zephaniah about huddle ministry. The prophet, throughout his book, has warnings towards God's people. We always want to take those seriously. And when we hear a warning from God, we always take it for our own hearts first. If He would warn people around us, we pray for mercy and kind of have tears toward that. Never want to cheer a word of judgment toward other people. Think of Jesus' example when Jerusalem was rejecting Him. You know, he wept about that. He didn't say, God's going to get you for this. Okay, we want to get that out of our heart. It's a common response to judgment. But God says, chapter 1, that His people do not seek or inquire of the Lord. So that was a disability they had. You know, they just weren't thinking about God or talking to Him. The people often said in verse 12, chapter 1, the Lord will do nothing, neither good nor bad. Kind of an attitude that, well, it's really up to us if anything good's going to happen. And it took God out of the picture. That was a dangerous thing. And in chapter 3, God starts to bring good news. He says, I'm coming to help. A lot of this is fulfilled in the return of the Messiah, the second time. But a lot of it is lived out now. So you and I can have this type of experience. God says He will purify our lips. We will start to call upon the Lord together. And we will serve Him shoulder to shoulder. So you think about the good things there. You're next to somebody serving. Your heart is clean, so your words are clean. That's be a huge accomplishment for the Lord. And also, we call on Him. Call on His name. So great works that God would do. And Jesus taught about shoulder-to-shoulder ministry in Matthew's Gospel when He said, take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. Okay, yoke is where two oxen would get together and do work together. So it's Jesus and you in the yoke. So if you're next to Jesus in the yoke and your brother and sister in Christ is next to Jesus in the yoke, then you have what Zephaniah describes as shoulder-to-shoulder ministry. Okay, serving the Lord in that way. You have a sense of being together not only with the Lord, but also with your extended family. I thought it was great, Josh and Abby, having as a goal in missions to say, well, you know, how we act around each other in the home is going to be a picture of Christ to the people. The same thing as Christians gather, how we treat one another as God's faulty, fallen, but blessed people will be a model of how God will reach out to people. Shoulder to shoulder experiences. And the Lord makes it clear to us that that's His will. Just a couple passages familiar to you. Other part of Matthew, Jesus says, "Where two or three gather, there I am in the midst of them." So you might say, Jesus is in the huddle. Jesus is in the fellowship. One time I was playing college football and got knocked out, and I started to wander into the wrong huddle. Where am I? Sometimes I feel like that in life. In fellowship times, I remember in school when the teacher would say, break up into groups and solve this problem together. Could have been English class, math class, biology, whatever it was. And when they would say that, my heart would beat faster. I would start to sweat. I'd die 1,000 deaths. Oh, I have to work with all these other kids trying to solve something. I just want to do it. I know how to do it. Just let me do it. You know, I can get it done a lot quicker. But really, I learned more. I grew stronger when getting together with others. That's the Lord's will for us. John's Gospel. This is how people will know you're a disciple of mine, said Jesus. Love each other. It's hard to love somebody if you're not connected to them in some manner. I won't read the other passages, but they're great. I'll mention them next week. I also want to mention that when you get in a huddle with other Christians, which many opportunities to do that, do not idolize the huddle. I think that's a fault that we have. Every church in the New Testament had major problems, both in belief and behavior. So whether you're talking about Galatians, Ephesians, Corinthians, Philippians, Acts, in the book of Acts, Christians had major problems of behavior, major problems of belief. Both of those were straightened out by the love and truth of Christ. So that's the goal. You know, just like your family does not have it all together, your Christian huddle is not going to have it all together. In fact, in one of the Gospels, Jesus says, love those who don't love you. Well, that's quite a goal for a huddle. I got these 10 people. You say, they don't know you, so they don't love you too much. You go in there. Well, your goal is to love them. And the Lord, you do that because the Lord gives you a heart for His people. And it creates health. And He makes Himself visible through the invisible God makes Himself known or visible through God's people in the body of Christ. There was a survey done recently for given to people about lifestyle, and they were to mark how they felt about their schedules. And one option was, I am busy and very busy. And almost everybody checked that. Busy and very busy. There was another section where they were to check their feelings. And most people checked, I am overwhelmed, overworked, and stressed. They checked that one. Okay. And then the third one was, what is affected by your, you know, overwhelmed, overworked, busy and very busy schedule? It would be a lot of people put relationships with others have suffered. And that was not only just relationship with the guy or gal next to you, that was relationship with Jesus. That will suffer too if you get busy or very busy. And so God says, I'm going to give you a huddle so you don't have to run your, you know, run up and down the field aimlessly. Someone said basketball teams huddle, football teams, baseball teams, bowling teams, soccer teams don't huddle. Keep running. Run, run, run. Don't want to be like the soccer team. You want to be like the teams that huddle next to other believers and let God do that. An example of that lived out in a practical way was through a fellow named Joe Ehrman. He was named by Parade Magazine as the most important coach in America. That's quite an honor. It was a secular magazine. But he's a pastor and he does the coaching thing. High school football on the side. He has his team have two principles in all their work. He says, your job is to love and be loved. And he hammers the kids with that message. So he's, you know, he pictures these high school guys. What's your job? And they say, love and be loved. Like a deep football voice. And he says that strength is defined as being grounded in relationships and having the capacity to courageously love other people. So he feels that the people in their activities are going to do more effectively if they actually care about the other people on the team. And he yells to the players, well, what's the coach's job? And they say, to love us, which is a great model for any of you guys who do the coaching thing, you know. The Lord puts us together so that we could accomplish what He wants to get done through us. Joe Erman, who coaches that team, has just one simple rule. For example, in the cafeteria for lunchtime, he says, no student is to eat alone. So he tells everybody on the team, if you see somebody eating alone, you go over and you invite them to your table. Boy, that's one simple way, you know. And you apply that to being Christians. You think, okay, nobody goes through a trial alone. That's the goal of the Lord. Okay, nobody prays alone. If you have a burden about something, you can share it with somebody else and they'll... Nobody praises the Lord alone, because the real test of love is the ability to rejoice with those who rejoice. You know, and ultimately, we don't witness effectively alone, because we're always pointing people to the Lord and His body. So all the blessings of the huddle, God wills and brings us to. I just wanted to mention the huddles available to you. And you can jump into those. And if you jump in and it doesn't seem like a huddle to you, then we want you to create another huddle. Okay. That the Lord would lead you to. That doesn't mean start the Second Alliance Church of Irwin. But it might happen. But the goal would be for you to be in a huddle to say, yeah, I belong there, and people are glad I'm there, and this is where I get strong to face Monday through Saturday. That's where it comes. The huddles we have. Sunday morning worship, that's an obvious one. Okay, make that a non-negotiable in your life. It becomes more and more negotiable, that's a problem. Ask the Lord to live out the Word. Be a doer of the Word in Hebrews chapter 10. Gather together. And don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Then you got the Sunday school and ascend groups. And sometimes we hesitate to get into them because we think, well, I know this much Scripture, and I'm obeying God somewhere down here. So there's no sense in me going and learning other stuff because I'm not even putting in practice, you know, this is the basics. But what we should know, as a teacher once said, we really don't know the Word until we do the Word. In other words, I know the Word. You really don't know the Word until you do the Word. So to gather and say, let me hear that again so I can learn from the Holy Spirit, how to put that into practice. That happens Sunday school and Ascend groups. Wednesday night, too, by design, it has a lot of interaction, whether for children, adults, or teens. Home dinner fellowships, you know, we give them a shot for 3 or 4 months and see if God will bless, and the one-to-one discipleship groups. But more than which group are you not in and what are you going to jump into? Because you just don't need another task, right? Because you filled out the survey and you said you're busy and very busy already. You don't need another task. But you may need a place where relationships thrive. And I think if you come to the fellowship with that, you will grow. I've been in ministry board meetings and I actually came away stronger in fellowship. We got a few things done too. That was just icing on the cake. But We became stronger in the Lord, even at a business meeting. Okay, so God would invite you to that. And I know realistically the reluctance in your own soul to not be shoulder to shoulder. But I know the benefits of it, personally. I don't walk very well with the Lord on my own. I only walk effectively with Him shoulder to shoulder with others. So I ask you that God would open the door, and we would have a desire to have that commitment as a regular part of our lives. Think of yourself as the Joe Ehrman of the fellowship. You know, you look around, hey, nobody's praying alone. I don't want that. I don't want anybody going through a trial alone. I don't want anybody serving the Lord alone. That's how cults start, by the way. So to connect with His body, if you need life, I've heard many stories where somebody's finger gets cut off. You know, they get it, they put it on ice, they get to the emergency room, they sew it back on. The thing's not gonna live. But if it gets connected to the source, oh wow, it's alive again. Might you be connected to Jesus and His body, and us follow Him in shoulder to shoulder ministry. And we thank the Lord for communion time that we could have together. So would you pray for me as we prepare?